Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host. It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. And we're taking a little virtual journey out to the east end of Long Island. So let's go around the room and have the guests introduce themselves, and we're going to have a nice conversation about beer. Start with Amy.
Hey, I am Amy Zavato. I am the content director for South Forker magazine. We are currently a digital publication. We will be launching a print publication in a few months. I've been a booze writer for decades and a longtime friend of Jimmy's.
Yeah, and a good booze writer.
And thank you, sir.
Rory?
I'm Rory McAvoy. I am the owner, alongside my partner, Grania Cohen, of Kid Squid Brewing Company. And I'm out here in Sag Harbor, New York.
All right, way out east. And Mr. Rob?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? My name is Rob Raffa. I am the owner and operator of Uber Geek Brewing Company. And we're out in Riverhead on Long Island. And I've been brewing for almost a decade at this point.
Wow. I'll tell you what's so cool about this show, Beer Sessions Radio. Now it's our 14th year, that we have so many friends out there, including you, Amy, who are keep us abreast of all these nice, what I call micro communities of brewers and food and drink people that I love to learn about. Because I think the last time I was out in even North Fork of Long Island was right before the pandemic. So lots of changes, and there's a lot of things that are new. So Amy, you reached out to me and it was really cool. You told me about this brewery, Kid Squid. In your words, what is it about that place and Sag Harbor and why it's important that we talk about it today?
Sag Harbor, I grew up in Shelter Island, and Sag Harbor is basically just across the ferry from there. And it's a very, very special community. It's very tight. It's charming as all get out. And interestingly enough, it has not had a brewery since the late 19th century. And when Rory and Grania opened Kid Squid last July, I think everybody's ears perked up and were like, wait, what? Who are these people and what are they doing here? And this is amazing. How is there not a brewery in Sag Harbor before? And I got to meet Rory and Grania and tell their story in South Forker. And, you know, they're just really lovely people who are super dug into the community. And they opened this charming tasting room in Sag Harbor. And the beers are balanced and delicious, and I love them, and they're just such a great addition to Eastern Long Island.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for bringing us together and making that connection. Gives me one more reason to go back out to the east end of Long Island. So Rory, absolutely. Mr. Kid Squid, just tell us about your inspirations and you know, why a brewery and you know, why beer with you.
Yeah, I my inspiration is I like drinking beer, and I like being creative. I've been thinking about doing something in the brewery world for a long time, and I had been doing various different less than fully licensed things for a while. And when the pandemic hit, that was my kind of inspiration, really. So I just fast forwarded everything. And then along the way, various hiccups and challenges and opportunities came about. And the one that I'm frankly very grateful for is Uber Geek and Rob Rafa. And you mentioned, Jimmy, that these micro communities. That's pretty macro for me. But out here on the East End, there's definitely a nice community brewing here.
Well, that's great. And Rory, did you grow up out on the East End? You know, what brings you to Sag Harbor?
No, I did not grow up. I grew up born and raised in New York City. Went to Bronx Science for high school. Shout out to Bronx Science. And Grani and I had a weekend house on Shelter Island since 2010. So absolutely loved it. And when we started raising a family, we just gravitated out east. We moved to Sag Harbor in 2018. And one pandemic later, 4 years down, we've got both of our kids in the elementary school here. Grania is on the school board, ran and won the school board election. I'm on the Chamber of Commerce, and we have a brick and mortar here in the village.
Sounds perfect. I love your story already. And then Rob, tell us a little about you. I mean, you're a brewer, and more about you, because there's a lot of you guys are very talented, and I'm really looking forward to coming out and visit you both.
Yeah. So first, Jimmy, thank you for having me on. We're out in Riverhead, and we've been in operation for the last 3 years. So we started everything up at the very beginning of the pandemic. I want to say we were licensed 2 months before everything kind of went bananas. And luckily, at the time, our business model was very different, so we were able to navigate it pretty well without getting too slammed. At the time, we only were wholesaling, so we didn't incur a lot of the issues that a lot of people did via retail. Granted, now we're dealing with a lot of the fallout via retail just from now being 3 years in operation with a brick and mortar for the last 2 years. But we're a brewery that makes some really off-the-wall products. And and then we also have the pleasure of being able to work with people like Rory and Grania. And like Amy said, Rory and Grania are really great people if you've ever met them.
Yeah. Rob, when you were first making beer, what were some of the first recipes that you made?
Oh, God. Some really terrible stuff. Yeah. I remember the first beer I ever made was Mr. Beer Kit Oktoberfest. For some reason, I thought it would be a great idea to ferment it at the top of a kitchen cabinet in the summer. And any other brewers that are listening are probably shaking their head. That kind of stuff. And then I remember, my first double IPA was atrocious. But the problem, but the good thing is that, through all these mistakes, it bothered me so much that I just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into brewing and trying to figure out where all my mistakes were.
Wow.
I think I've never heard a brewer say that their first beer was amazing ever.
If you ever did, they're lying.
They're lying, exactly.
Yeah. And then, so tell me about your relationship. So, Rory, you wanted Rob on for a reason. Tell us that reason.
I'm going to give a couple of shout-outs real quick. To Rob, obviously, and Uber Geek, which we'll go into more depth on, but also North Fork Brewing Company. Pete, North Fork, big shout-out to him. And also to Long Island, the Old School Brewer, Dan and Greg and Kevin Leonard. Just want to give a shout out. And the reason I'm giving those shout outs is this is an ecosystem that I was able to cobble together, or maybe better put, I was able to join. It already existed. So when we first started out looking for a location, we landed on a great one in Sag Harbor in the village. We had a couple of constraints right away. This is, hindsight being 2020, but at the time, you know, there's everything happening all at once. One of the biggest constraints is the septic and the sewage. A larger one had to do with zoning. However, the village has been great. They let us open up shop. But then the question became, well, how do we manufacture if we don't actually have our equipment, you know, brewing in Sag Harbor Village? That's where Pete from North Fork Brewing Company came into play, and we started an alt prop there. And as we grew in, I guess, in capacity or ambitions or confidence, then we moved some fermenters over to Rob's at Uber Geek, and we've been brewing a lot of our beer pretty much in Uber Geek under Rob's eyes, ears, and hands, or nose maybe, and hands. No, that sounds weird.
Cool. So wait, let's talk plainly. So you guys, what's officially what you have in Sag Harbor? That's a tasting room. How is it? You know, because you're not.
It's a tasting room officially.
Yeah, it's a tasting room.
Yeah. So we're a farm brewery, a farm manufacturer, and we're a tenant manufacturer currently, and our branch tasting room is in Sag Harbor Village. That's to speak plainly and technically.
No, that's pretty great. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of people talk about, you know, we're at a challenging time where, you know, there's a lot of places that can produce and not everyone has a great location, you know, for a tap room or a retail. And, you know, it sounds like you're figuring out how to do this, right?
I would love to say we figured it out, but the reality is this is evolving for sure. And so far it's been great. What we have figured out, I'm very happy with. I can put it that way.
And the New York State laws have been such that they do allow you to do things like this, like open up a tasting room and sell other people's products if you're a farm brewery or a farm distillery or a farm winery or a farm cidery. And that's, you know, that's been really super helpful for New Yorkers anyway.
Yeah, no, we're huge fan. Yep.
Yeah, as a farm brewery, we have restrictions. Which, frankly, when I was home brewing and getting into the professional licensing, was always really not a restriction. It was sort of an ethical decision anyway. And that's the grain and the hops predominantly need to come from New York State. And in fact, we're constantly trying to get even closer and closer and closer. And so far we've gotten pretty close with the product that can be grown on Long Island. So as Amy was mentioning, that's like the restriction. It's meant to encourage the whole, you know, the whole supply chain from growing the grain to malting it to brewing on it is staying in New York State. So that's an economic incentive. And then the incentive to the actual brewery owner is you can open up up to five branches, manufacturing and otherwise, within the state. So there's always that.
And sell other products.
Technically right now.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's a big part of it. As also as that license allows, we can sell any New York labeled product. So we're able to sell Sagaponic Farm Distillery, which is the local distillery in Sagaponic, run by Marilee and Dean and Matt, the head distiller. We're able to serve Channy Daughters, which is a local farm winery, and we're able to serve Wolfer, which is also a local farm winery. So we're very happy to be able to do that, and it's it would be something we would do anyway, even if you know, laws be damned.
Yeah. So, like, tell me about the Kid Squid location. So, it's in this village. It's like a trendy historic village. It's beautiful. What's your space like, and what's the experience like when you go into Kid Squid?
We're in the old railroad freight depot of Sag Harbor Village. So, for people who know a little bit about Sag Harbor, they're like, no, there's no train station there. And you'd be correct to say that. But at one point, there was a train station and there were the associated railroad buildings. This is one of them that we're in. So it's long and narrow with really nice big roof eaves. And this was to keep everything dry back when freight had to get on and off the trains. We are right behind Main Street, so we're like a little bit secluded off the Main Street strip, which can get pretty packed in the summer times. And when you walk in, it's kind of an anti-brewery vibe, if I could put it that way.
Yes.
The motif is pink and the accent is flowers. You know, there's three-eyed squids everywhere. So, you know, it's
whimsical.
It doesn't scream.
It's fun.
Yeah, whimsical. I was just saying whimsical. It's
certainly whimsical. Rory, what was it before you?
Before it was, it only had two uses before. It was that freight depot up until right before World War II. And then in the late 80s or early 90s, it turned into the retail store for the adjacent Sag Harbor Garden Center. The Sag Harbor Garden Center still exists. It's still right next to us. The retail has moved into what used to be the barn in the Sag Harbor Garden Center, and we took over the railroad building.
Wow! And you mentioned that your wife and you've become leaders in your community. I always think of brewers and.
I didn't say leaders of the community.
I always think of brewers, brewers and you know pub owners as leaders, whether they become mayors or governors or like John Hickenlooper. The guy in Colorado from mayor to governor to senator or something. So tell us your role in the community. You know, you've got an establishment, a place, you know, you're owning brewery label and you're in the Chamber of Commerce. You know, I'm just curious, like how you perceive yourself, and Amy can tell me too, because I think that role of a pub owner or brewery owner is really important. It goes back, you know, hundreds of years.
Jimmy, if I could just interrupt for a second. I mean, Rory's got a really interesting kind of little connection with the former brewery from, 1894, Rory, who was there. And this guy was really dug into the community. And didn't you tell me he was like a Freemason and he was in the fire department and he was like this super dialed in like community guy. And, you know, Rory's kind of, you know, following in his footsteps in a way. I mean, I don't think you're a Freemason, but.
I couldn't tell you if I was.
And that's true.
maybe I could. I don't know. that shows you I'm probably not. Alan C. Dalzell, he started a brewery here in Sag Harbor. I still haven't figured out where exactly it was. A lot of this village burnt down a couple of times since then, but it was definitely in the village, and I found an ad for it. And before I found the ad, I said, you know what? If we're able to open this place, I'm going to name it exactly what this guy named it. And I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be something cool. And it was, but it was the one thing I couldn't name a brewery, and that's Montauk Brewery. So I was like, found the ad, it's Montauk Brewing Company. I'm like, what are the chances? this is a small village when it comes down to it. It balloons in the summertime, and if you count all the transients that come through, sounds weird, but you know, all the people who come through visiting or whatever in the summer, it's astronomical. But right now, like from you know where I'm sitting now and when I'm sitting in early February, you really get to know like the core, you know, year rounders as they're called, and the villagers here, locals. And I would love to say I'm like on the road to becoming a local, but I'll never be a local. I wasn't born here. My kids are first generation locals. So, you know, they're here in Sag. And I don't know. I think we'll see how it goes in terms of leadership and everything. I don't really see our role as anything but a nice place for community to hang out. I can say this without going too far off on a tangent. One of the most surprising, pleasantly surprising things since we opened our doors 6 months ago was seeing people reconnecting with other people randomly because they both happened to walk into the place. Hmm. That's that stuck with me. And I really, really appreciated that. And I never thought that I never thought to think about it. But to see it is really nice.
Wow. That tells me a lot about what you guys are doing. And now beer. So, I looked at your list that for Kid Squid, everything from Pilsners to IPAs to other things. What's your philosophy of beer? And let's have Rob talk about is Rob making some of your beers?
Rob's making a lot of the beers alongside my recipes. Rob makes sure I don't go too off, fall off the rails unless it's intended. In terms of my philosophy on beer, it's really, I'm trying to make more approachable beer. For approachability, I think that's important for where we are in Sag Harbor. We're kind of in a desert in terms of other breweries, both historically and currently. So we're introducing beer. I really feel like we're introducing beer to a lot of people. And introducing them softly with like a low bitterness or more fruity kind of taste not only follows the current palate, but it's also good for an intro to people who historically maybe thought that the only thing you can drink when you come to Sag Harbor is rosé. nothing wrong with rosé, but it's kind of the speed of this town until we shut up.
What about you, Amy? I've never really heard you talk about drinking beer before.
Well, you know, I am really picky about beer. I've never been a big fan of, I feel like there's this sort of go big or go home sometimes style of beer with American brewers. And it can be like, to speak to what Rory said, so bitter, and I like bitter things, but it's kind of all about, you know, not to sound like a cliche, but it's really all about balance. And that's what I like about Rory's beers and beers that I appreciate. I like that if there's a bitterness, it's purposeful and it's melding with something else, and there's thought and thoughtfulness behind it from the brewer, and that's what I find in his beers, and that's why I really like them.
So you as the great wine writer, when you go into to Kid Squid, which beer are you drinking? Or are you drinking the Wolfer's cider or the Channing Daughters wine? I like Channing Daughters wine. I mean, you guys are Jimmy, really in a gold mine out there of drink options.
Jimmy, right now, this very, very, very moment, I am drinking Dreamy Coffee Stout from Kid Squid. It is in a glass sitting next to me. I'm so sad it's almost done. I've actually like gaboned the whole thing.
That sounds good. So back to beer. So let's go to Rob. So Rob, you make beer for Uber Geek and you make some beer for Kid Squid. Just tell us what's different about the beer that you make for your own brewery and for others.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so first off, I gotta say that Amy and Rory, you both are great interviewees. I gotta say, like, you're gonna make me look really bad.
Wow, thanks.
So
Rob, you're doing great.
Thanks. I know, I'm 1 minute in. I'm doing great. So a couple things first, Amy, you touched on something very important. I think that you're right that as far as American brewing goes, it really is go big or go home. And it's unfortunate because you lose a lot of nuance at times when that's the case. you spoke of bitterness. The same thing can go even for fruity esters. Sometimes people just try to pack it in and feel that if they can just hit some sort of threshold, which is unknown, then it becomes something truly unique. But I hope that over time we start to embrace nuance again.
Agreed. And with sweetness too. I mean, you see it's in all directions. It's not just bitter. It's sweet, it's bitter, it's sour, it's this. It's just always like there are some producers who just push too far in any direction. And I agree with you.
100% agree, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then really quick, Rory, when you were giving your shout outs, I think that those were very important. I want to just dip on the fact that he mentioned Peter over at North Fork Brewing. So in our company's origin, we were an all prop before Rory at North Fork, and that's how we got started.
What was it, Rob? You're a what?
Alternating proprietorship.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rory is the current alternating proprietorship in North Fork. We were the former one. And without North Fork, you know, I wouldn't be around, Rory wouldn't be around, and then also Rory and myself wouldn't have our
Rob, to clarify, so the alternated proprietorship, does that mean that there's one day when it's considered your brewery and the other day it's theirs?
No, it's more
to put it simply, but it's a bit more nuanced than that.
Yeah. So it more has to do with a host and a tenant situation. So North Fork has the host license, and then at the time I had a tenant license, so I was able to use their system and produce and manufacture and then push product out via wholesale or retail or whatever. But it was basically using it's kind of being like a subtenant or a subletting on the lease, essentially.
Rory, that to me, that sounds like another really great part of New York State's craft beverage laws. Is that a New York thing, the way it's working like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I can only speak to New York, but it absolutely is. So as far as I understand it, it was really all came out of 2014 under then Governor Andrew Cuomo, and it was really a recalibration of the existing brewery laws, which basically were ABC laws that separated, you know, if you manufactured, you couldn't distribute or retail. If you distributed, you couldn't manufacture or retail. And it basically circumvented all of that and then, you know, created these requirements underneath it. The alt prop stuff, I don't know if that preceded 2014 or what. I have to ask a lawyer, I guess, for that, but it is a great mechanism if, like in Rob's case, his place wasn't ready yet, or in my case, the local ordinance didn't allow me to manufacture. And then just as a callback to Rob was saying, Peter really is the existing genesis moment for both of our entities. And then, also allowed the platform for Rob and I to work together, which is great.
Yeah.
Yep.
And where is North Fork Brewing?
It's in Riverhead.
It's in Riverhead too. And are people able to go there? Or is it just production?
100%. I go there all the time.
Oh, you do? Yeah, no. You got to tell me about the other places around, because I haven't been there in a few years. I used to go to Greenpoint Harbor Brewing quite a bit. But otherwise, I haven't really been out there for beer.
Yeah. How long has North Fork been going, Rob?
North Fork is, where are they? I think they're at 5 years now.
No, 5 years, yeah. 'Cause
5 years.
Actually, I think a little longer. I wrote about them in Imbibe in 2016 when they just started. I think they kicked off in 2016. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But
Riverhead's a cool place, right? It seems like awesome. A brewery town, doesn't it, Rob? Been through Riverhead, you got highways, you got it's in between the North and South Fork. It's got a little grit to it. I don't know if it still does.
No, it still has the grit. That's not ever going to go away.
The grit is there.
No, but it's a great town. I mean, there's six breweries right now in Riverhead local. And often in written pieces, they talk about it as the brewery capital of Long Island. And I believe that every single brewery that's within the limits is completely different. People talk about like, is six too many? Are you oversaturating the area? But sure, that could happen. But I think that everyone within has taken such a different approach to their beer, to the way that they present their tasting room, that it's everything seems at least unique.
Rob, what are the six?
So there's myself, and then in no particular order, there's Twin Fork, there's Long Ireland, North Fork, Crooked Ladder. Oh, sorry, Crooked Ladder is no more. It's Trade Winds now, and Peconic County Brewing. Yeah, so
I was wondering if Twin Fork was still there. I didn't realize that they had folded.
No, Twin Fork is still there. Crooked Ladder.
Crooked Ladder.
Yeah, so there's six, and then there's also a distillery now, which is right next door to North Fork.
Montauk Distilling?
Montauk Distilling, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got this great community, and you know, once the summer comes around, there's little trolleys that takes people everywhere. You can basically park your car and bounce from brewery to brewery. You can also walk to three of them very easily. So it's a nice little community that we've formed out there.
Sounds like my kind of town. Definitely got to go out there. Riverhead, and then swing over to Sag Harbor. I've never really spent much time in either of those.
There's just read this recently, but there's a Forbes article saying Riverhead is like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Top travel destinations next to like Bali.
Why, wow. Amy, did you write that article?
I did not, sir.
Wow. Well, that's great. Listen, we're all laughing here. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago. Before Wisconsin was recognized as a state, immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheese making craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni, I'm the host, and we're on in our 14th season here on Heritage Radio Network. You can become a member and support the network with over 30 podcasts each week, heritageradionetwork.org. out of Brooklyn, New York City. So we're talking about East End of Long Island, the Kid Squid Brewing, Uber Geek Brewing, and Amy Zavato of South Forker, a hip new media company that's out in the East End. So Amy, you as a writer, like I know you as someone who wrote about Prosecco. I think of you as a wine expert. I know you work for Long Island Merlot Council.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know, you got a lot of cred. So what are you covering with South Forker? Like, is this like kind of like what Edible East End used to be or is?
I feel like we're kind of, yes, we are the, we're storytellers, and we're telling all kinds of interesting maker stories, interesting, delicious, wonderful pieces about folks like Rory, new restaurants that are opening, old restaurants that have been around for 50 years, stores, nature hikes and beautiful places you can go in the Hamptons and the South Fork. You know, there's so much more to it than, you know, I think what people think about the Hamptons, and it has a reputation for being a very particular kind of area, perhaps a bit moneyed, and you know, and that's certainly part of it. But there's art, there's nature, there's food, there's drink, there's so much to the South Fork, and that's what South Forker's doing. We're telling all of the beautiful stories, like Rory's, and
yeah. Well, it's a good time, right? Getting us ready to start planning out our spring and summer travels and
exactly
getting out of the city.
And, having grown up out here, it's a place that I love and it's really close to my heart. And it's such a pleasure and a joy to be able to do that.
Great. Now back to Rory or Rob. Amy said she was drinking the Kid Squid, the Dreamy Coffee Stout. Who wants to talk about what's the flavor profile? You know, what was the inspiration for that beer? Rory, so you're there, your recipes, right? That's
yeah, my recipes. You know, I have great guardrails with Rob and then Rob's expertise for this one is no different than the other ones. I'll start with the concept. Dreamy Coffee is an existing coffee company here in Sag Harbor. Shout out to Linda and her team. They've been making this coffee since 1989. It's like an institution here. So I wanted to have a coffee stout out there in the world, and it made sense to speak to Linda first. We used her Dreamy Coffee proprietary blend, which I would love to tell you what's in it, but I can't because she won't tell me.
proprietary.
All I know is that it's good. Yeah, proprietary, exactly. That's what that means. it's really good, we wanted to put it in a stout, and we got a bunch of her concentrate. And when it came time, right before packaging, Rob, Linda, Grania, and I sat down and taste tested enough of the brew until we thought we nailed it. Not overly coffee, not underly coffee, just the right amount. And then we labeled it as co-branding. Basically, it's a collaboration with the non-beer partner, Dreamy Coffee Cow Stout.
And then when you brew, at what point do you put the coffee concentrate in?
This was done right before packaging, so right when we're about to keg it and can it.
And then, Rob, you want to talk a little bit about the mechanics of that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, anytime you add cold brew coffee to any sort of beverage, luckily it's pretty devoid of most sugars. So it's not like you're going to see any kind of continued fermentation. So you know, with respect to Rory's beer, the Dreamy Coffee Stout, we were able to add it just pretty close to packaging. I think it was the day before. And and we were, you know, very certain that there would be, you know, no added fermentation. Everything would be exactly how it tasted that day. But no, it's always good when we get to do these types of benchtop experiments with you know, drawing up stout and coffee into pipettes and just trying to figure out the proper ratios. And it's great for collaboration. And I think that I find myself in a unique position where I get to see many of these collaborations and, you know, come to fruition.
Yeah. Rory, I saw on your website, either the current or recent beer list, it said you even have a Doppelbock. Is that?
Nope. No, it's someone else's list.
Sorry. No Doppelbock.
Let's cut this out. Well, now we're gonna have to brew one before this airs.
Rory, if you want, you can put my Doppelbock on.
Was that your Rob? Is that Uber Geek has a Doppelbock?
It's Rob's Doppelbock.
So let's talk about Rob. So Rob, you're at Uber Geek.
Yeah.
So you're the one that had from pills to IPAs to sours to Doppelbocks. Why a Doppelbock? I mean, I love it. When I talk about beer, I like beer, and I love the German styles, and Doppelbock is something that calls to me this time of year. So, Rob, I bet it calls to you too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. No, Doppelbocks are beautiful. my favorite was the Eyinger Celebrator.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a beautiful Doppelbock, and also you get a trinket with it as well. You get a little ram ornament. It's kind of cool. So the funny thing about Doppelbocks, for those that don't know, is that the majority of the names end in Ator, A-A-T-O-R. So when we created our Doppelbock, we were like, all right, well, what are we going to name this thing? And the predominantly the beers that we push out, they're all generally states of mind that, you know, I wake up in 2 a.m. and panic sweats and I write it down. So yeah, if anybody ever wanted to commit me, like all they have to do, or psychoanalyze me, all they have to do is just read our beer names and they'll figure me out. But this one, so we needed it to end in Ator, and the only thing that would come to mind is a calculator. So we, this beer itself is called, you call that a calculator. And it's basically, if you look at the label art, it's inspired by an abacus. So it's, yeah. But it's a really nice, wonderful beer. It's chewy, it's plummy. It's exactly what you want for this time of year. It's 7.5%. And we've made it several times already. This is our first season canning it. And I believe the cans are pretty much gone already.
Wow. And then you have some fun. Like I checked out Uber Geek on Instagram. You've got a whole bunch of videos and you guys are goofing around. It made me wonder, like, are you serious about your beer just because your Instagram is so much fun?
Yeah. Oh, we're very serious about the beer. So the way we look at it is, as long as you lay down your principles and you have you know, all your priorities set, then you can have as much fun as you want to have. You know, with respect to, you know, beer recipe design, everything is built on the base of scientific principles. And I think there's two different types of brewers out there: those that take this scientific track and are more regimented, and those that are more artistic. And I think that with about a decade's worth of brewing under my belt now, the scientific principles are a bit rote. And the artistic, fun, aloof side is starting to come out. So I think as long as you're preserving those principles, at least on the beer side, you can have fun with it. As far as the videos we've been putting out, we've been starting a new campaign where we've realized that people kind of want to get to know us a little bit better. So by putting out these videos, we feel like we are kind of inviting the world into our family. And the response has been pretty fantastic. But also, we don't take ourselves too seriously as well.
I love the names of your beers, Rob. They're so cool.
Thank you.
There's a whole bunch that I don't remember.
Tell us a couple more names, Rob.
Yeah, no, Amy just said, yeah, Existential Meltdown is a vibe. That's definitely true. We started a vibe series.
What beer is that? Tell us what the beer is, too.
It's a blackberry raspberry tart with vanilla added to it. It's blood red and it's very drinkable. It's 8% as well. It's a very drinkable 8%.
And I love that you have a Faith No More nod. That's awesome.
There's so many different things that we've done.
Oh, and, what's that beer? The Faith No More.
We care a lot.
the We Care a Lot. Yeah. So the We Care a Lot, that actually was a collaboration that we ended up doing with several breweries on the island. And I believe it was John, who's formerly of Dubco. He was the one that wrote that recipe and spearheaded that whole effort. But yeah, no, our beer names are very out there. There's a whole list that I have not put out just because I'm fearful that people will commit me. So I'll just kind of keep those myself.
You got more. And Rory, tell us, we don't have that much time, but you know, tell us a little bit about your beer. So we heard about the Dreamy Coffee Stout, you know, two other beers that Kid Squid's making.
Sure. We do have a Full Moon series. On paper, it's brewed on the Full Moon and it's served on the Full Moon or released on the Full Moon. In action, it is released on the Full Moon at least. So we've got that down at least.
So this isn't like a biodynamic, you know.
Well, Jimmy, I'm glad you asked.
Planet with the moon thing.
Is there a cow horn filled with manure or?
It actually all comes down to the first hazy or New England IPA that I was homebrewing. And as I left the garage, the Full Moon was rising and it was perfectly framed. And so that kind of like led to that being named after that Full Moon. And then we moved forward from there. So we have, as of April of this year, we'll have done 12 of them for each of the full moons, and we don't plan on stopping it. Rob and I have worked out how to do this without compromising other productions.
So you target the full moon as a release date? Is that it?
The full moon is the release date. That is correct.
And then about
and where possible, the brewing is on the full moon as well. Although that's been a little complicated the past 6 months since we've opened the tasting room and everything.
And then another beer.
Well, I'm looking forward to having a beer called Squid Pro Quo, which will really speak to all of the tangled tentacle-like connections that we have made and are beholden to. So I don't know. That would be a future beer. Of the beers that we are doing, we have a number of sours that are in collaboration with North Fork Brewing Company. We started off, this is the first beer we actually brewed professionally, was Tide Goes In, and it was a Goza, and wow. Tide Goes Out, and then Squiddy Smalls, reference to to Biggie, which that came out recently. It was an Imperial Fruited Sour with orange and cranberry, and a close second that from a homebrew standpoint, that was first brewed during Omicron, during that wave of COVID, and we added cranberry and called it Omicron. But yeah, other than that, we've got some like themed stuff towards the Sag Harbor community, Sag Harbor Lager. Rob and I just finished brewed it. That's going to be finished in about very soon. But Sag Harbor Lager is packaged towards the cinema of Sag Harbor, which has the iconic Sag Harbor name in the front of it, and the same thing exists on the can. Whalers Pilsner towards the whaling community, not towards that. So that's basically it.
The church.
The church. Yeah, sorry. So a lot of these are collaborations that are in the works. We're working with the parish on one, and the church, which is a phenomenal arts institution, on another. Bay Street Theater, which is the theatrical institution. We're really lucky in Sag Harbor to have like this preponderance of not-for-profit institutions with real gravitas. And as much as we're able to highlight them on our beer, and as much as they'll have us, we're going to keep doing it.
Amen, brother.
All right. And then Rory, summer's coming. I'm out there in that area. What's the one beer that you make that I should be drinking this summer, or that you think will be your popular beer? Even if it's not, just you got to tell me one.
I think depending on when you come in the summer, I would hit up either the Strawberry Moon, which is the June full moon, the Buck Moon, the July full moon, or the Sturgeon Moon, which is the August full moon.
And all those are IPAs.
They're all variations on a theme, and they're all generally hazy IPAs.
That's great. And Rob, what about you? For Uber Geek, what's going to be your beer of summer?
Oh boy, for sure. I'm always going to advertise my baby. So that's Space Age Time Stone Age Mines. That's our flagship IPA. I guess you'd call it a double IPA. Most people would call it a double IPA. It's 8.2%. It's got some beautiful Idaho 7 in it. It's notes of pineapple and just juicy fruits. And it's hazy as hell. And it's just fantastic.
You guys, this makes me ready for summer. I'm glad we're recording this in February. I myself like to start planning out my summer. And I'm sure a lot of other people do too. But Amy, you're such a good friend and really, to me, well-respected in the, drinks and writing community. So thanks so much for reaching out and bringing the show together.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, and we're going to keep up. So we'll follow South Forker online and look
Please
for
do.
Your name, right? Amy
Zavada. Southforker.com.
And start reading now to get ready for the summer, right?
Yes, absolutely.
When does the season kind of start? When does it go from quiet to
now?
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I was in Sag Harbor on both Friday and Saturday night, and it was packed to the gills, and I couldn't even park on the main street because they had this wonderful event called Harbor Frost. But you know, even with 8-degree weather, people were like you couldn't park. It was nuts. And Sag Harbor is just a really super fun town, as is Riverhead.
Well, that's great. Well, you guys, I'm really, really proud of you and happy to meet you both. And Rory, any last thing you want to shout out maybe to your partner or your family or anything?
No, I want to say, Jimmy, thank you for everything that you're doing here. And it's great meeting you today. Amy, as always, South Park is just getting off, just starting, and it's going to do amazing things. And
thanks,
give a shout back out to Peter from North Fork, who honestly, he's the reason. He's so affable, but he's the reason that all of us are here right now, except for Amy and you, Jimmy.
Great. And then last, Rob, you're going to close us out with a bit of brewing wisdom.
Wow. You put me on the spot.
What should I walk away with?
No. I got one. Brewing wisdom. Remember to refrigerate your harvested yeast, because if you don't, their glycogen reserves are just going to be destroyed. And good luck with your next batch of beer.
Nice.
Thank you, man. That's a good one. Remember to refrigerate your harvested beer. It's probably going to be the title of this show. So, all right. Thanks so much, Rob, Amy, and Rory. Thanks for joining me here on Beer Sessions Radio. Big shout out to Armin Spengen, our engineer. I'm Jimmy Carboni. I'm the host. This is Heritage Radio Network. We'll catch you next time. Woo! Thanks so much. Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.